Management should take the following steps to reduce violence. First is counseling troublesome employees. When employees are troublesome, you find that somebody is frequently having issues with people. Talk to him or her. 90% of the cases, these people are having some issues within themselves. Reach out to them. See if you can help them out. See if the company's framework is allowing them to do something. And do everything to ensure that a good employee who's creating a trouble, he's a good employee, he's actually good in his work, but then he is a person who's getting into a lot of trouble with people. So counsel him. Make him feel that he belongs here and we are talking to him because we care for him. That's very important. The care should be genuinely shown. Divert the powerful employees towards organization goals and to issues for constructive purposes. It's commonly done in many companies. Somebody is creating a trouble in a department. That person is, his energy is very good. He's actually got a lot of energy to do things. So convert that energy, destructive energy, into constructive energy. Put him in a department where his energy can be used for productive purposes. Aggression can be converted into assertiveness when there is a particular constructive goal in front of you. So divert that person, make him feel good about it, and he may come out with a better results. He'll be less destructive, right? Create a more friendly environment at the workplace. Make it genuinely friendly. There should be, the friendly part of it is subjective to every company. One has to ensure that the friendly environment takes place. Create teams with diverse employees. Create teams with different types of people coming together, different backgrounds, two different genders coming together. When you make that thing, initially there is a certain amount of churning. After that, everything will come in place. And guide them properly. Let there be a good leader. That's important. Eliminate candidates at the time of selection with background of violent behavior. Already mentioned earlier. Impose severe punishments on violators. Don't take them for granted. No, if you give them a little bit of a leeway, they'll start compounding it and the whole thing will become go from bad to worse. Now we come to a very, very, very tricky thing, very dangerous thing, very, very, a thing that needs a lot of attention. To what extent it is being given is anybody's guess. Sexual harassment and human resources. What HR has a role to play in sexual harassment? One of the most difficult areas for human resources department is developing and managing policies and handling allegations on sexual harassment. Now, what is a sexual harassment? Sexual harassment, by one of the definition, it is not about sex. It's about an employee makes continued unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical conduct of sexual nature to another employee against his or her wishes. Very tricky definition. Simply means that, you know, you have a co-worker, a colleague with you who's working. You're both of the opposite sex or maybe same sex, because these days anything is going on. That person is feeling insecure about his or her sexuality. Either you're passing on some WhatsApp messages. Whenever you do this, people normally keep quiet. That's where actually the things go wrong. When they keep quiet, the person who's sending a message is feeling that the person is okay with it. He looks at it as an encouragement, unfortunately. And then when it compounds, you know, first people keep quiet because they are embarrassed. And then the embarrassment, when it starts building up, they feel extremely uncomfortable. This creates so many issues in the long run. Because what you don't express, what you don't say, builds up in a very, very big way. So where is the starting point? The starting point is sending this message. So can you have a discipline? Can you have a self-control? Can you look at your job as a job and not a place where you're socializing and creating all these things? Because people who do that will never get into trouble. Come, work, finish your job and go. So why do you have to socialize at the workplace on areas which are very, very delicate? People make this big mistake. And then, you know, asking them to come out for a dinner or a lunch or something, and they come. I'm not blaming them for coming for the first time. It's a social grace. See, when a person is extending an invitation and you accept it, it's a social grace. Now, can I welcome you with a social grace and keep it as a social level? Sometimes this social level gravity, it goes down to this level where the sexual harassment starts, wherein the person starts feeling obsessed. And this is something that is unfortunately not expressed till it goes from bad to worse. Sexual harassment is always below the water. That's why many companies are not able to pinpoint it. They can't say for sure that X is sexually harassed or Y is sexually harassing. One can't really say with surety because there are so many connotations to the whole thing. I have only one thing to say, which I can say all across. I've been addressing it many companies where somewhere indirectly this topic comes up. I tell them very clearly, come to the workplace, work and get lost. Just come work, do your work and go. Fine, be kind to people. But don't get into anything personal. See, one of the issues which we do, which we face, we socialize at the workplace too much. When we join a company, we talk to each other. We want to know his background, which region he comes from. And then we go to his house. He comes to my house. That's perfectly okay. But this indulgence, personal indulgence at the workplace, it leads to these, this can lead to this type of thing. And I've seen this happen because why unnecessarily get into all these things? A very talented person gets into some sort of a behavior like this and his entire career, his life gets ruined. Not to talk about the brand of the company also going from bad to worse, it's very sad. So these are very, very private matters which should be kept private only with you in your own home. At whatever you have urges and all that, handle it there. This is a workplace. Don't make a spectacle of yourself. Okay? In my view, okay? And reading it again, the second bullet point, sexual harassment occurs when one employee makes continued unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical conduct of a sexual nature to another employee against his or her wishes. Many employers are not even aware of sexual harassment activities occurring in their workplace. And oftentimes, they are surprised when they learn about it. It comes very late to them. After that person has gone through so much amount of a pressure cooker situation, not able to take it anymore, that's the time they spill it out. And by the time it appears, why did you not tell in the first place? Even I say that, but human beings being human beings, at the very first instant, they don't say things even if they're uncomfortable because it is taken initially with a social grace. That is a reality. A social grace. He's my colleague. He's saying something. Hello, let me go by that. But that doesn't mean the person starts taking liberty. Now, this social grace is misunderstood many times. That's where the trouble starts. Sexual harassment can occur in many situations, such as the examples listed below in the next slide. Posting emails or pictures of sexually related nature. With all these social media coming up, this has become rampant and common. What happens between two people is supposed to be private. But unless and until the two people are really intimate with each other, they are close to each other, such things should be completely, completely avoided and banned. Repeated requests for dates that are turned down. Repeated requests, come, let's go for a tea. And you say, no, I keep on asking. And this, when it is turned down, then the sexual harassment starts. I'll somehow ensure, because I start getting obsessed. When you start getting obsessed, obsession can create tremendous amount of negative energy. Unwanted flirting. Flirting, people say, is a stress buster. I don't agree to that. Because flirting may just say something, a few things, you know, bordering on social as well as bordering slightly on the personal. I think one should avoid it. One should avoid it as far as possible, at the workplace at least. Any body contact such as grabbing an employee around the waist, patting a co-worker on the back, interfering with the employee's ability to get around the workplace, somebody is walking on the aisle and you just come in the way and block him or her, all these things are signs of, you know, example of, you know, sexual harassment. Playing sexually suggestive music, you know, some sort of music which gives you those sexual sounds and all that. Unwanted jokes, gestures and offensive words or on clothing. Again, a very common thing, passing a comment, lewd comment about somebody wearing some dress or a shirt or a trouser. That too, not alone with a group of people who are jeering at that person. Very offensive, very, very offensive. The effects of sexual harassment in the workplace we are discussing now, the serious effects of sexual harassment are often understated. It's got far-reaching repercussions. It is not at the behavioral level, it is at the psychological level. These behaviors can cause significant health problems. Health. How does it cause health problems? People may be wondering. When a person is going through a lot of psychological stress and not able to express it, not able to bring about a catharsis, emptying it out by talking to someone, that eats into the immunity system of the body. Any type of stress, it eats into the immunity of the body. Any unexpressed stress eats into the immunity of the body. And that creates huge amount of health problems. Financial difficulties. Why does a financial difficulty come? Because the person is not able to work properly. He or she is not able to think properly. And this can have a far-reaching repercussions on the way the person is handling money, earning money, and not able to make himself better. His focus is getting lost. It is getting drowned in certain negative things like this. Even global repercussions. Now that looks very far-fetched. What's a global repercussion? If there's a sexual harassment at a workplace and you find that it is getting unattended properly by the company, word spreads. Word spreads. And when the word spreads, that company may have a competitive disadvantage. Point number A is emotional well-being, loss of self-esteem, broken relationship and loneliness. This is the first thing. This is very, very common when a person feels sexually harassed. They start feeling very low about themselves. They are being used as an object. And relationships get broken because of that. Even with a near and dear one, they start feeling very bad about themselves. You know, it's a stripping of a person of his or her self-esteem. And they start feeling lonely because they have nobody to relate to. They don't trust. They have lost trust. It affects the physical health because of the effect of emotions resulting in the body organ disorders and disturbance in the sleep patterns. Sleep gets disturbed. Financial challenges, emotional issues resulting erratic attendance and frequent absenteeism and in extreme cases quitting the jobs. This leads to financial issues for the person. Overall, low morale in organizations which are globally connected affects business prospects and growth. They get a competitive disadvantage like I told you. So this has a very far-reaching repercussions. What are the measures to reduce sexual harassment? Some of the measures given in this slide: create an anti-harassment policy on paper and communicate explicitly to every employee time and again, and this should be non-negotiable, absolutely non-negotiable. Make sure that managers do not misuse their power by warning them of the severe consequences of the action. A very common perception: managers use their power, and because of the power, they try to control the people, the person working under them. And they try to do sexual harassment on them. This is a very common perception, right? Now, they are warned not to get into these type of things with severe consequences. Provide protection and support for employees who feel insecure. Now, first and foremost, I would say that the employee has to come forward and say in the very first instant, I tell everybody, very first instant when something goes wrong, immediately, even if it's imaginary or real, if you're feeling insecure, go and tell. Go and speak about it very first instant. It may be your perception, it may be real, but then you're nipping it in the bud. Give them protection, give them support. Ensure that discriminatory jokes, posters, graffiti is what you write in the washroom and all that, you know, some funny things, you know, which provoke, you know, lots of hilarity, you know, black jokes as you call it, emails, pictures, videos, etc. are severely punished. Next, we come to the second most important thing that happens in many companies: alcoholism and drug abuse of employees. People who come from with a background of alcoholism and drugs, it's very common now. Alcohol and drug use among employees can be an expensive problem for business and industry. Alcoholism is not about just taking alcohol. Alcoholism is more of a person who is lonely, who has an emotional issue, and he or she sits alone and drowns himself in alcohol. And that's a chronic case. Drug abuse, we all know, they are dependent on drugs and they start getting into substance abuse. Because of that, you know, their entire behavior gets altered in both cases. Issues range from loss of productivity, absenteeism, injuries, fatalities, theft and low employee morale to increase in health to increase in healthcare, legal liabilities and workers' compensation costs. The company has to spend more on healthcare, the company has to settle more of legal issues, and the workers' compensation cost also has to be taken care of. You have to give them counseling, you have to make that, you have to ensure that they're coming back to normal. Now all this takes time. So the company has got two choices. When you find that somebody is into alcoholism, despite all the counseling, they have to throw that person out. But that's easily said than done. Same with the drug abuse also. But then the point is, at the end of the day, we have to first regain their human dignity as far as possible. That's what a good management is supposed to do. Right? The impact of alcoholism and drug dependence on the workplace often focuses on four major issues: premature death and fatal accidents, injuries and accident rates going up, absenteeism and extra sick leave becoming more and more rampant, and loss of production and also productivity. That means the efficiency is completely gone, it's down. Additional problems could include coming late to the workplace and sleeping on the job, disruptive relation with colleagues and others, loss of efficiency and poor decision making, likelihood of theft, lying, telling lies and similar such bad practices. Techniques to deal with the problem include: number one, testing for alcoholism and drug abuse regularly. Number two, counseling, training and mentoring, which is done in many companies now these days. Third, extreme case, taking disciplinary action. And fourth, ensuring that the employee's monetary compensation directly goes to the family members. This is done in some companies where you find that the worker or the employee is actually losing all his money on drugs or alcohol all the time, and the family is suffering. Ultimately, you work to take care of your family. So the money is directly given to the family so that he is discouraged from getting into this type of a destructive activity. So finally, we come to the summary of this chapter. Quality of work life refers to the favorableness or the unfavorableness of a job environment for the people working in the organization. The major issues concerning quality of work life are pay and stability of employment, occupation stress, alternative work schedules, recognition, congenial worker-supervisor relationship, adequacy of resources, and seniority and merit in promotions. Workplace violence takes many forms and has many causes, such as lack of pre-employment screening, stress, lack of employee assistance program, denial, disgruntled customers and even former employees. Sexual harassment can cause significant health problems, financial difficulties and even global repercussions. Employers must take adequate measures to create a harassment-free workplace. Alcohol and drug abuse among employees can be an expensive problem for business and industry. Major issues due to alcohol and drug abuse are premature death, fatal accidents, injuries, accident rates going up, absenteeism, extra sick leave and loss of production. Employers can deal with this problem by using appropriate techniques and counseling. And to sum it up, my dear friends, why are we covering this in the HR book? Human resources department, today with the type of global working we're having, and we're having a lot of people who are into stressful working, it's important that they have to make adequate arrangements and policies such that this evil, I call it, doesn't come to the workplace and destroy the people as well as the workplace, working, productivity, morale, etc. So HR has a role to play in this, and they have got the prime role to play in this. That is the reason why we are discussing this in this particular book. With this, my dear friends, I thank you for listening to me, and I'm sure this has been evaluated. Not many points have been covered here, but we have given you a trigger, and each case may be a different case to handle. All the best, friends.